From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gwyneth Chi, Shawa, Toyaksik Nusam, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. We chat with Nami Juno about support groups, resources, and events available to the community. We chat with Scott Burton, who recently won the Marie Darlin Prize from the Juno Douglas City Museum, as well as talk with Beth Weigel about the history and importance of this award. And the Juno Arts and Humanities Council is here to preview First Friday plus Saturday's Food Fest and Farmers Market. Those conversations, Tonga's voices, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakahtlat Florence Marks Sheikley. And the word this week is Kitch'onakat.
Kitch'onakat.
That means rainbow. And here's a sentence. It is from the rain that we always see rainbows. Let's hear it again. Rainbow. Gwyneth Chi Chune, Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's Trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in teaching and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juno area for decades now.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kach, gunish cheese.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. As we step into September, we're reminded that this is National Suicide Prevention and Recovery Month. Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, or JSPC, is a program of Nami Juno, and is offering a wide range of services and events in support this month. For a rundown of these, visit this website. They have a fantastic link tree available to you with a link to all these different events and resources. So it's linktr.ee/JSPC. That's linktree/JSPC. And here to share with us today are Tina Diasis Samaniego and Jessica Gray from the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition. Gwyneth Chi, Shaye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here in the studio. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
It's going good. Thank you, Boston.
Of course. It's really, really a great pleasure to have you here today and to be learning about some of these resources and events. And first, before we begin, can you give us just a sort of an overview of the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, or JSPC for short?
Absolutely. So we are a coalition, and as you mentioned, Boston, we're a program of NAMI Juno as well. But the coalition comes together to do events like this and others, and to coordinate activities that might help to get the word out about suicide awareness in itself, right? Just community awareness. And then education, which we take that as a very much a community approach in prevention, right? So we offer trainings and we partner with a lot of different organizations to work either within their organizations or with the public in general. And thank you so much for mentioning the Linktree. If you're interested in a training, and that might look like QPR, question, persuade, refer, or it might look like creating suicide safety plans, but you can inquire about that on our Linktree as well.
Yeah, so that's great. And I know NAMI Juno has their own website, but so does the JunoSuicidePrevention.org has its own website. So you can go directly there as well to find out more information and resources. So Jessica, tell us a little bit, before we begin talking about these events, tell us a little bit about National Suicide Prevention and Recovery Month.
All right. So September is a really special time and able to have these difficult conversations around suicide prevention and recovery. It's when mental health advocates, prevention organizations, survivors and allies, and community members all come together to share resources and stories to reduce the stigma and to remember those affected by suicide and substance use. We're really glad to have this opportunity to discuss the work that we do as a part of a coalition and also the events that are coming up in recognition of this month.
And of course, your work goes year round, right? Of course. But what's interesting is to be able to have a month to sort of highlight things and bring awareness to the community in larger ways in some of the things that you're doing this month, right? So that's really cool. So let's talk about a couple of these events that you have in support this month. Let's start with the book club. Tell us a little bit about this. This is really cool.
Yeah. So this is our newest event that we are doing as part of our Suicide Prevention Awareness Month activities. It's happening at the Douglas Meeting Room of the Douglas Public Library on Thursday evenings throughout September. So we're going to have four separate meetings for our book club. It's called Turning Pages, and we're going to be reading the book called Loving Someone with Suicidal Thoughts. So this book is really all about navigating the difficult experience with compassion and empathy without sacrificing personal well-being as you're supporting someone else in your life that might be going through that. The start time of the event is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. We're going to have opportunity to chat, discuss, bring questions to the table, share experiences, and really have that opportunity to connect where we might not have that in other places in our community. So it's really an opportunity to come together to reduce that feeling of being alone and isolated and sharing together in this comfortable, supportive space as we work through the book content. So there's going to be copies available at each of the public library branches, so anyone can pick those up for free. And then if you register for the book club, you will also be provided a copy. And that's happening tomorrow evening is our first meeting at the Douglas Public Library.
And I'm assuming that I can register for the book club on that Linktree that we gave out, right?
Yes, yes. And there will be posters around the community, so you might notice them are on our bulletin boards. And there's a QR code that you can also scan that will take you right to the registration form.
But the important information is that it starts tomorrow. Now, do you have to attend all of them, or can you, if you can't make it tomorrow, can you start next week?
So for intimacy and being able to have that ability to share with comfort, we really are hoping that there's consistent membership in our book club so that there's not new faces every time.
So we're sharing, so you can, the sharing can grow as the weeks go by. So really you want to be able to be there tomorrow for this first event, but you don't have to have read the book in advance, I'm assuming. You're going to read the book different things various times throughout the week. So tomorrow's like the intro to this book and what the events will be coming over the month.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So September 5th, which is tomorrow, we're going to have the introductory book talk. So I'm going to be talking about what to expect when reading. And then we're going to also have some resources available for our community members. So it is going to be an initial meet and greet per se. Then on September 12th, that's when we get into the group discussions about the content. So that's when we expect that our participants have read some chapters. So chapter 1 to 4 the first week, and then another 4 chapters the following week, chapter 5 to 8, and then 9 to 12. So basically over the 3 weeks, we'll have 4 chapters each that we're reading.
That's really great. And the website for this to sign up, go to Linktree, which is linktr.ee. Just put that dot between the E before the EE, Linktree/JSPC. And the book club is the second link on there that you can sign up for. And you want people to register in advance so they can get their copy of the book and be part of this wonderful event that's going to take place over, is it 4 Thursdays throughout the month? Is that what it is?
That's correct.
Yeah, 4 Thursdays. And it starts at 5:30. So that is really, that's a really great thing. This is the first time, how did this idea come up to start a book club?
Well, we've recently started a survivors support group. So for anyone who's been impacted by suicide, and we realized the importance of connection and really be able to come together and share our experiences and being supported by someone else who's gone through the exact same thing. So we really wanted to continue that and offer that to a larger sector of our community, and hoping that we can continue to have these really important conversations that are often kept away and hidden.
Well, it's nice too to have a central idea like a book, right? To be able to talk around some of these subjects and get conversations started in a meeting such as this, right? So that's really kind of cool. And can you tell us a little bit more about this book, Loving Someone with Suicidal Thoughts?
Yeah, so it's a really great book. It's short, it's nonfiction, and it has lots of personal anecdotes, which I really like. It's written by someone in the field. She is a therapist, but also has admitted within the book that she has struggled herself. So she's coming from multiple perspectives, which I really appreciate. It's going to talk about how you can tend to yourself and care for yourself as you're supporting someone else, and also the steps of what that might look like as you're walking your loved one through crisis. So those areas that you can reach out to, how you can start that conversation, how you can keep them safe, doing some safety planning, what it looks like after crisis too, how to get back to that sense of normal.
I see. And I know that this is Suicide Prevention and Recovery Month, right? They're really sort of 2 months combined together, but there's probably a little bit of crossover. And I guess my question is, the folks who want to register for this, can it be those who are in recovery as well to learn a little bit more about?
I think anyone who has experienced suicidal ideation is welcome to come, and also anyone who is supporting someone with suicide ideation. And recovery, it doesn't just have to be about, you know, substance use. It can be mental health recovery as well. So anyone who has experienced some sort of struggle might benefit from this topic.
I see. That's really great. Thank you, Jessica, for that. And Tina, let's talk a little bit about this community picnic and canoe healing that's happening. This is an event you've done a few different times. This is the third or fourth?
Third annual. Yes.
Okay.
And I have to say it is, we have loved it every time and been very well received. I do, if I could, just want to say one thing of how we call survivors, right? Survivors of suicide loss, survivors of suicide attempts, survivors of, or anybody that's impacted by suicide. And then those, of course, that are caring for folks, as Jessica had said, with suicidal ideations, right? And then again, when we talk about recovery, as Jessica said, these events are, and in particular, this event, our community event here, is whatever stage of recovery we are at, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important to say. And again, as Jessica said, the beautiful thing about September is we can take this month to connect, right? And connection is such a big part of our personal wellness, our community wellness. And yeah, so that is the entire purpose of it. There are a lot of things a person can do to help themselves, but it's that connection that is so critical, and knowing that we're not alone in a thing, and to be able to celebrate our victories and to hold each other up during our struggles.
Yeah, it's so critical to have human connection, right? Yeah. And to realize that you're not alone and be able to talk in a group and realize that, yeah, other folks have some of these similar thoughts, just like myself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So this event, as we lovingly call the Community Picnic and Canoe Healing Journeys, mm-hmm. being our third event, will be at Sandy Beach again. And in the past, I think we've used we used two locations, both cabins last year. We'll use both cabins again this year. And that will be Saturday, September 14th. We will start at 11 o'clock. I suggest coming at 10:45 just so that you can be there, because straight up at 11 o'clock, we are going to have our welcome and the land acknowledgement and the blessings from our elders, and then kind of rolling out a rest of the events, right? So come early, and then the event itself will end at 3 o'clock, but we will have healing activities as well as dancing and drumming, which I'll go into more. And there will be two canoe healing journeys. You do need to register the same as the book club for that one on our Linktree. And the first one will depart at 11:30. You do not need to have had experience in a canoe. There's space to say if you need assistance in getting in the canoe, that can be provided. Life jackets are provided. So the first sailing is at 11:30. The second, or whoa, did I say sailing? I think you could get kicked out for that. The first paddle is at 11:30, and the second one is at 2:30.
Okay. And each of those takes approximately 2 hours, just so people know, right? In terms of the time that they would need to know how long it will be. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And I I'd love to tell you more about the event, but I really want to do a shout out. You know, we're a coalition, and just as, you know, in our We depend on each other, right? Mm-hmm. Not just as individuals, but also in the coalition. And I want to shout out to Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, to Tlingit and Haida, certainly the One People Canoe Society, Public Health, 4A's downtown, and of course our friends from the Be Smart Gun Safety. We'll also have Find Your Fire and Hatooch the Chish joining us, and all of the members, right? I think that we are a large organization and do a lot of things, but we don't do these things alone. And I think that's the world that we want to exist in, you know, is that we help each other.
That's great. And I do want to give this information again, and also something else, but the Linktree, which is linktr.ee/JSPC, you can find all of the information and also information about joining the Survivor Support Group, as well as other things. But I also want to make sure that we shout out the phone number for those who may not be able to use the internet. So you can also call to register for either of these events, 463-4251. That's 463-4251. And for email purposes, is it all right to give out those email addresses?
Sure,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So Jessica for the book club is jessica@namijuno.org. And Tina is tina.deasiswrite, which is tina.deasiswrite. GHT at namijuno.org. I'm sure you can find those emails on the website, but I just wanted to give those out. And the phone number again is 463-4251. These are both great events. Are there other things that people could be looking forward to this month as well? I'm the support group, obviously, but that's also the support group goes year round, right? It's a monthly thing that you all do.
That's correct. Yeah. There's one group meeting each month and we do a variety of activities. Our most recent support group actually was art therapy, but that happens each month and we are open to having more survivors come and join us. So you can find out that information on our Linktree. We also support our Southeast communities as well. So we have a monthly meeting with Southeast folks as well, talking about suicide prevention and how we can collaboratively reduce that throughout Southeast Alaska.
Well, Gunath Cheese, for telling us about these wonderful events. This is going to be a great month to bring awareness and also healing to those who are in need, right? And whether you're a family member or a supporter or have struggled with this yourself. So again, the Linktree is linktr.ee/JSPC for all the information. Jessica and Tina, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next is Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Akwan and Beyond. New Talk Doreen Simmons is an Inupiaq actor and language teacher. She was seen by more than 12 million people playing an auntie to Jodie Foster's stepdaughter in the latest season of True Detective. She's also appearing in a comedy set in the Arctic, North of North, debuting next year on Netflix. New Talk plays the grandmother, Akka Mary, in Cold Case, a play opening at Perseverance Theater this weekend. And as a warning, this interview contains references to suicide and violence against Alaska Native people.
I gave you my Inupiaq name, Nutak. My other name is Doreen Simmons, and I'm from a place that was known as Barrow for 100 years, and we just got the name back. Utkarvik, which means a place to pick roots. Oh, it was a friend of mine who emailed me something about auditioning for a part in True Detective. She came over with her phone and she helped me do the audition right then and there. And they liked it. So I got the part. Akka Mary. I'm the grandmother to the young lady who is looking for her auntie's body, Akka Mary's daughter. It happens to be a cold case. She's been missing for about 9 months. Akka Mary doesn't know too much about English and gets confused. And takes it out on her granddaughter. She's just a grumpy old lady. There's still two sisters who were brutally killed that it still hasn't been solved. And that was 20 some years ago. And also my favorite auntie's granddaughter, who was killed and wasn't found all winter until people who were walking the beach several miles down found her body and brought back memories. And there are others. I had to laugh at myself the way I was before when I finally found myself. And it was through my older sister. I was near offing myself when I called my sister at midnight. And through her suggestion, I found that myself this skin and bone was really not the real me. There was a bigger part of me, like an iceberg. For most of my life, I thought of myself as that part and found there was a bigger, deeper part of me. And I began to see, be kinder to myself and to others. And it took a while, but I learned to be comfortable with myself and not be so judgmental toward others, because I was learning to be kind to me. And so in that process, I learned to look back at myself, how I was before, and learned to forgive myself for having been that way. I grew up very, very, very shy. My grandmother called me Nipai Lukduk. After a bird that would very quietly would swoop down and scare the heck out of us while we were in the tundra because we're too close to her eggs. This was an opportunity for me because I had just finally, at my late age, finally admitted I'm an artist and I need to work as an artist. And acting is an art. My son, he tells me, Mom, we just don't know what you're going to do from one thing to the next. But he said, I have never heard you talk so happily about a job you've had before.
That was actor Nutak Doreen Simmons for this week's episode of Tongass Voices. Cold Case opens Friday at Perseverance Theater. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Marie Darlin Prize is awarded by the Juno Douglas City Museum. It's a $5,000 cash prize awarded annually to an individual or collaboration whose work expresses a commitment to the region's social or cultural history, community advocacy, or Indigenous identity. This year's recipient is Scott Burton, former KTOO employee as an arts and culture producer and host of this very program. Scott Burton is a multidisciplinary artist based in Desantakini who works in documentary filmmaking, creative writing, directing, and audio and visual storytelling. I am now joined in studio by Scott Burton and Juno Douglas City Museum Director Beth Weigel. Gunath Chishat Yeyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Wasaiti, how's it going?
Yake.
Yeah, it's really great. So, Scott, welcome back to the studio, of course. Been here a few times since you departed KTO. We always love having you come visit. Always makes me a little nervous having Scott in the studio. but congrats on this award.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm very thankful for this.
Yeah, it's really great. And so could you, there are so many things we could talk about in terms of your journey, and I have a couple of questions for you about it, mm-hmm. but can you just talk a little bit about what your overall thoughts are in terms of getting this award?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, first of all, big thanks to Beth and the City Museum and the Friends of the City Museum and the Juno Community Foundation and the Marie Darlin Prize Committee and the Marie Darlin family. So I'm super honored and humbled to get this award. And yeah, like getting here, I was just thinking walking into this building, I'm sort of standing on KTOO's shoulders. Like a lot of the work I submitted for this award was work that I was fortunate enough to do here and collaborate with Shelley Delaney and other, you know, co-workers here and the TV team downstairs, you know, Miko and Kelly and all those great folks. So big thanks to KTOO. And, you know, I worked in public media in this state for 10 years. I worked here at KTOO for 7 years, and I worked for Alaska Public Media for 3 years. And that I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunities that those 10 years working around the state, you know, provided to meet cool people and collaborate with great people and help people tell their stories. So yeah, it started right here. 586-3636. You can become a member. wait. No, what are we talking about?
We just go to kto.org now.
Oh, geez.
Donate button.
We don't
That's
even
what we
probably
do.
Have telephones anymore.
We don't even have
anymore.
The phones, yeah.
Okay.
Or you can walk into the office at 360 Egan Drive and write out a check and become
begin,
a member.
Begin, renew, or upgrade your membership now.
That's October.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I forgot.
But yeah, I love it on the website at the museum, juno.org/museum. You can actually read a lot about Scott's history in terms of what's going on here. It's under the news tab. I found it. And there's a whole section about the projects that Scott's worked on, some really wonderful things. And Scott, you now run Authentimedia, which
right.
is your company, and you're still working on your film.
That's right. Yep.
And can you just tell us a little bit about future projects? Of course, you've been awarded for past projects, but is this $5,000 going to help you with any of your future projects?
That's right.
Finishing money,
I'm
right?
I'm so thankful for that money. And I've been trying to figure out what to do with it. It's such a gift. And but yeah, Earnest Drinker is coming along well. I want to thank all the folks who have contributed to that and all those supporters. And the turning that into a limited series, by the way, team, everyone who's listening, and the first installment, the pilot, will come out this fall. So keep your ears open. I'll have some kind of announcement, and we'll do a screening, you know, various places in town and that kind of stuff.
So, I love it. Hot drop right here on Juno Afternoon.
So you heard it first.
It's not going to be a movie. You're going to do it as a series.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. I had a 1 hour ready to go. That was my goal, right? Like 1 hour documentary. And I screened it with a bunch of friends and filmmaker friends. And I was just trying to do too much in 1 hour.
Mm.
Like, you know, our community and our society's relationship with alcohol, it's just a little too much for 56 minutes. So yeah, stand by for that. And that continues to go well. If you want to learn more, go to earnestdrinker.com. And it's all about, again, our community's relationship with alcohol and the normalization of alcohol and all the things that orbit that. So yeah, check that out. earnestdrinker.com. That also gets you to my website if you want to see some work that I've done. I just finished working with some fifth graders at Auk Bay Elementary, which was among the most fulfilling projects I've ever done. We made a documentary about a Thlinget elder they were working with named Daniel Brown, Kutas Ain. And they'd been working with this elder for years. Well, the class itself had, and then the kids kind of loop and this and that. But sadly, Daniel came down with cancer and passed away in the middle of their school year. And so we decided to make a documentary about him and their relationship with him and the things they learned from him. So it's called Kutas Ain Kayak'a, The Teachings of Daniel Brown. And you can find that on my website or the SHI website. It's a 20-minute documentary that the kids, you know, interview each other to talk about the relationship with Daniel. They talk about stuff that he teaches them. Including the bombing of Angoon. It's pretty powerful. That's where he's from. And he taught the kids about what happened there. And so you get to hear their commentary about that event. And check that out. And that was amazing. So that was a big part of my winter last year. And that came out in the spring. So
what a magical experience that sounds
like. Oh, man.
Like.
Those fifth graders were amazing.
We can learn a lot from the,
right?
from the kids.
If you have like a life problem or you need something solved, go ask a kid.
They're so direct.
Right?
I love that.
We like wrestle. We have all these, you know, problems and we're overthinking stuff. You know, they're just like, oh, do this. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I want to turn to Beth. Tell us a little bit more about what the Marie Darlin Prize is. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, so one of our past board members, Mike Blackwell, Marie Darlin was also a past Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum board member as well. And she was a real, you know, stalwart of Juno history. And she was always checking facts and, you know, gathering resources. And so she was just really important about, you know, kind of overseeing things that had anything to do with Juno history. And Mike Blackwell, she passed away shortly after I came on board at the City Museum. And Mike Blackwell, he was very determined to create this award. And he had been named the Philanthropist of the Year at the Juno Community Foundation. So he wanted to raise money for this. Marie Darlin also left some money to the City Museum, but we changed it and put it into the Community Foundation at the Friends because that's just easier than a government entity. And so that fund is held at the Juno Community Foundation, all that money that was raised and left to the projects. And so that was his idea, was that he thought that there should be a prize. It should be named after Marie Darlin. And it was kind of like, you know, a prize that puts you on the map because people know that you're giving away a big sum of money for your work. And it's not for some kind of project. It's for the work that you've done. And you can do anything you want with it. And, you know, like any other kind of prize, it's an accolade, right? So we got it all organized, and our first year out, I think, was COVID year. So I think we skipped to the next year, and our first recipient was Ernestine Hayes. And then the next year was Maureen Longworth. She's a playwright. And then Lily Hope. And now we have Scott. And I think because Scott worked a lot with Ernestine and Lily on different projects, they both wrote strong letters of support for his application. Ernestine wrote, "His actions and way of being clearly demonstrate Wu Qin, working together with generosity and kind spirit in pursuit of common goals." So that, I think, is a real part of what we're looking for when we look at applications or nominations for this award. Lily wrote, "Scott's respect for Thlinkit culture, study of the language, and desire to learn about the people of this land all communicates that he's invested in doing the most informed and heart-centered work." So, you know, both advocates for him. And, of course, he had his application and all his work stood for itself as well. So definitely fits in with that idea of, you know, looking at work that expresses that commitment to cultural history, community advocacy, or Indigenous identity. We used to have a lot more like words in there for describing. And there was one thing about women and women's history. And I think people thought it was only for women. So everybody's actually really glad that we have a man that won this year. So,
I love that. And I want to ask about nominations here in a second, but you said something that made me want my other question for Scott, which was, because, you worked with Ernestine, you worked with Lily, you helped Ernestine with her Blonde Indian podcast book and turning that into a book series, sort of like an episodic series, which is cool. And I know you've been working with Lily for many years on a documentary we will see someday of her work and her life, which is fantastic. But I'm curious about the journey that you've taken in terms of in the land that you're on and how that has impacted you. And how did you first sort of find your way into that? How did that calling first come to you?
So thankful to be here on Thlinkit Ani. What a beautiful place it is physically, and maybe even more so are the generous spirits that are here, the people in this place, the social resources. You know, one thing I like about this community is you can sort of do anything if you want to. One day I showed up here, I was a prose writer, and I told Jeff Brown I wanted to try radio and had to read this piece. And so he sat me on one of these, I think over here in KRNN, and taught me how to use Cool Edit, you know, and record into a microphone, and boom, that was the beginning of 10 years in public media. You know, and let's see, I've been studying Thlinkit for probably 4 or 5 years now, and just trying to figure out my place as a settler, you know, here in Tlingitani. And I'm still working on that and what it means to live here and how I can contribute to the community the best. Learning Tlingit has been probably, for me, it's like music. It's just beautiful and interesting and thousands of years old and tells amazing story. It's high literature. It's knowledge of the ocean and the tides. It's knowledge of the land and the water. It's this place, that language is of this place, and the people. And so that has been a big part of my development as a community member and artist as well. In fact, I have Tlingit class tonight, which I'm looking forward to from 5:30 to 7. It's hybrid these days. So you can, you know, a lot of these classes are hybrid. You can attend in person or online. How am I doing? Remind me what your question was.
I think you answered it. It was sort of just how that first kind of calling came to you, but it was really because you moved here and you were affected by the land, the environment, the people, right? And that sort of sent you down this journey and you're an inspiration for that in terms of that, you know, and I'm on the beginning of that language journey and to hear you speak it so eloquently, it's really, really nice.
Oh, goodness, cheese.
Goodness, cheese, Shecky, for that. So this Marie Darlin Prize, I want to get back to this before we run out of time here, is how do people get nominated or nominate themselves? Or somebody's like, I want $5,000 to do something with, and I've done a lot of cool things. What do people do?
Right. Well, the information is on both our website and the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum website. It's probably also on the Juneau Community Foundation in some fashion as well. And basically, you can self-nominate or apply, I guess, in that way, or you can nominate someone with a letter, and then we follow up with whoever that is, because you also need a couple letters of support and a resume and things like that that you might not have on hand for someone else. So all those requisites are listed on our, like I said, on our website or on the Friends website. And again, it's an annual award. So it's open now. We'll accept nominations until, I think we changed it to be May of 2025. In April of 2025, we'll honor our 2024 recipient, because Marie Darlin's birthday was on April 3rd. And so we'll honor Scott around that date and have a gathering at the City Museum and talk about his work, and people talk about him, and it's a lovely evening. And we almost always invite people. He'll give us names of people he wants invited, and we invite our Friends members. So if you're not a Friends member, know that if you become a Friends member, then your contributions help support this program. Or if you are more likely to want to give right through the Juneau Community Foundation, you can do that as well and support our fund over there for the City Museum, the Friends of the City Museum. And that's how you either apply or support this effort.
I love it. And before we go, is there a couple other things that are happening at the museum this month that you want to quickly mention?
Yeah, I'll just quickly mention that September, we aren't doing anything particularly specific for First Friday, but we will have free admission between 4 and 6 p.m. This week. And then at the end of the month on the Saturday, which I think is like 28th maybe of September, will be our last summer hours time, and we'll switch to our winter hours. So we'll be closed on that Sunday, Monday, and then we'll be back to Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also, just still have our downtown walking tours going on and free walking tours at the Capitol, ongoing exhibits, Yesh Kuwu, Raven's Tail Weaving, our telephone exhibit, Switch in Exchange. And we've also announced, so for those of you who like to plan way ahead, our theme for our 12x12, which happens in, we put it up in March, but you apply and get ready in February, is the theme this year is rhythm. So have fun with that.
Okay.
Just creating a 12x12 piece of art, or 12x12x12 piece of art that can go into that show. Anyone in the community can participate in that. And I guess the only other thing I'll mention is that, you know, here at KTOO, we've partnered with you guys plenty of times, and some of our partnership efforts were written up in a national magazine called Preservation, which is the national magazine of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And our collaboration on Mugacuento last year in October, as well as working with Lily Hope on the Chilkat weavings that we showed last year in the summer exhibit, along with some other things. So
awesome.
Check that out in the latest issue of Preservation. You can just kind of Google it.
Google it, yeah.
Online. And so.
Fine. That, congratulations on that.
Well, congratulations right back. You guys were great partners to have in that effort. And so
yeah, that was
Tasha was the real, you know.
Tasha just won a national award as well. She just won a national award.
It's just like award after award after.
And we'll probably be replaying some of those Mugacuento podcasts here in a couple months. So be on the lookout for that. Well, Gunathchish Scott, Gunathchish Beth, thank you so much for coming in today and telling us all about it. You can find out more about everything going on at juno.org/museum.
Or check out our social media.
Social media always. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Okay, up next, First Friday and Food Fest / Farmers Market preview with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. You might know Alaska chef Kristen Dixon from her 2021 cookbook, Living Within the Wild, written with her daughter, Mandy. Filled with personal stories about life as lodge keepers near Kachemak Bay, this book also contains fantastic recipes like caramel-topped blueberry brownies, which at the lodge are wrapped in birch bark and smoked over the smoldering coals of a campfire. But if you want Kristen's simpler fudge brownie recipe, you'll have to go all the way back to 1993 and the River Song Lodge cookbook. Here, you'll read how Dixon's family got their start long ago in a remote cabin on the Yentna River. Bread baking was a must at River Song, and Dixon loaded 50-pound bags of flour along with yeast and powdered eggs into the small planes that ferried cargo from Anchorage to the bush. Back at the cabin, she dumped ingredients into a large bucket and stirred them with a paddle. Brioche rye and sourdough all went into the oven. The Dixons had a garden too. Black currants, snow peas, carrots, and potatoes grew along the riverbank, feeding hungry lodge guests and local wildlife. One night, Dixon woke to a slapping sound outside her bedroom window. A crucifer-loving beaver had helped themselves to all of the broccoli. Fish and wild game, mushrooms and berries all made the menu. And of course, desserts. Fudge brownies with chopped pecans and a mix of bittersweet and milk chocolate were always piled on a big platter next to the lodge coffee pots. Kristen and her family operate a new lodge now, Tootka Bay, on the tip of the Kenai Peninsula. But that first brownie recipe will always have a home on the Yentna. Find Kristen Dixon's Riversong Lodge fudge brownie recipe at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Time now for our monthly arts roundup with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. And I am joined by Rochelle Bonnet. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, good to see you.
Gwyneth Cheese for coming in. Will you introduce our other guests?
I will. With me, we have Chelsea and Nikki with Avery Art. And they're here to talk about Avery Skaggs and his opening exhibit that's going to be at the Jack this month.
Okay, right. Nikki Bass and Chelsea Palmerton. Yeah. Thank you. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. It's so exciting. Rochelle, let's start with you over here. We're talking about, we missed you last month, I think.
Yeah,
And that's okay. So, but the summer is kind of, I don't want it to be over, but it's kind of over. And we're entering fall, and that means way more arts events, way more opening. But First Friday is always happening. So let's start with that first. Let's talk about First Friday a little bit.
Sure. I know we're going to talk about what's going on at the Jack a little bit, but around town we have, I want to say, 14 or more events taking place this month. We've got a mini artist market over at Sea Alaska Heritage. We've got Chloe Cavanaugh of the Black and White Raven Company popping up over at Frost and Fur. We have a really fun limited edition handwoven earrings collection over at wooshkindane.lilyhopeweaver studio. So definitely go and check that out. And we have a really fun exhibit opening up at the Alaska Robotics Gallery. It's featuring Christine Carpenter and Hollis Kitchen. And it's a fun and zesty new art show called Pickles and Onions.
Yes, they'll be on the show on Friday to talk about that because of my Pickles and Onions as an art show. Let's find out what all about. And then can you quickly also tell us about Saturday? There's something cool happening at the Jack on Saturday, the Farmers Market and Food Festival.
That's right. So like you said, this is the end of the summer. We're gonna end with our biggest market of the year. That's the Juno Food Festival and Farmers Market. It's taking place at the Jack from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday. And there's going to be vendors indoors and outdoors. So we've really expanded it and made it this like huge market. We have 45 plus vendors who are going to be joining us, people doing food, doing art, all kinds of different things. And if anybody's out there who's interested in joining, we still have a few spots available. So give us a call or look at our website for more information.
I see. And that's jahc.org is the website. What's the phone number that they could call?
586-2787.
Or as we used to say, 586 arts.
That's right.
But do people still know how to look at the numbers and the letters on their phone anymore? I know sometimes I'm like, oh man, can you just give me the number? But it is easy to look on your phone. Even on an iPhone, you can still see the little letters. You can spell it out. But yeah, 586 arts. Or just hit jahc.org and there's probably like a form to fill out, like a vendor form, right?
Yeah. And if you go to our homepage and scroll down, there's a little button you can click. It'll take you to the page. And then on that page is the registration form. And we always tell people, make sure to get there, early, because a lot of the people that bring produce and pies and jellies, they sell out really quickly, but we'll have stuff available throughout the entire event. So.
Okay. And I know you're going to come back in a few weeks or maybe even next week to talk about the other big event of September, which is
the Wearable Art Extravaganza.
And what's the theme this year?
It's Neon Apocalypse.
Every time I see the photo for it, the flyer, I'm like, whoa, it is bright. And it is bright and loud, which is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So that's going to be on September 21st and 22nd. And like you said, we're hoping to come back next week and really dive into that event and talk about that some more.
Yeah, we'll deep dive on that. And of course, for all the events for First Friday, you can go to jahc.org/first-friday or just go to the homepage. And there's usually always a link there that can take you to all that information. Okay, Nikki and Chelsea, tell me about this art show that's happening. I'm assuming this is in the gallery at the Jack.
It is, yes. Well, thank you for having us here. We're here to represent Avery Skaggs. He's a self-employed artist with Avery Art, and he will have a show this Friday, and it's called The Seasons of Southeast.
Okay, what is that all about?
So the concept, Avery Art has been in business for 12 years now, and Avery himself uses nonverbal communication and needs some assistance with his work. And so that's what Chelsea and I do, and we're here to kind of represent his show. And the Seasons of Southeast, the concept was to have a painting for each month of the year.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Nikki, so tell us about the what kind of art is it?
Avery is an abstract expressionist.
Okay.
And he uses mostly his hands to make marks on the canvases. But he also needs some assistance with like getting the color palette together and, you know, exploring different textures and stuff. So, you know, I might introduce like a paper towel to him and stuff. And so he'll sort of play with that over the canvas and makes different marks there. But for the most part, he really just loves the texture of paint and will use, you know, thin paints and thick paints and different like gel mediums and stuff to kind of add a lot of texture to his paintings as well.
I see. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So like the theme of you said it's every month of the year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so what kind of stuff are we seeing on the walls here? What are we seeing? Is it different colors expressing different months? Or?
A lot of it is the color palette that you'll mm-hmm. see that is representative of the month. But I try to work with Avery to capture his expressions in ways that might be like, you know, more subtle things to represent like little small flowers or big strokes to represent, you know, branches or something like that. So, you know, it's not, it's abstract, obviously. So when you go there and see the names of the paintings and what they look like, I think that you will actually pretty quickly see.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some beautiful pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there a place that we can find Avery's work online? Is there a social media or Instagram?
Yes, he has an Instagram with Avery Art. He also has a website. It's at Big Cartel, Avery Art, Big Cartel. Yeah. He also has various merchandise for sale online, and we have some merchandise locally. So you can find some of his prints on leggings and handbags and totes and pillowcases.
That's so fun.
And like greeting cards and stuff too. I think those sell really well.
He's been painting. He loved like the energy that he expresses when he's painting. We turn on classical music and we just all have a really good time.
Yeah.
And so our role is to just help help Avery's voice, you know, like his hands are in motion. He's really jazzed by the art that he does. And our hope is to just represent him well. And
there are two on his Instagram. There's a couple of like time lapse videos of us working together because it can be a little difficult to explain to people. But you'll see, you know, Avery's doing all of the marking, but I'm turning the canvas for him or like removing the canvas so that it's not overworked. You know, and I'm putting down different colors and, you know, Avery, you know, has his own choice. I'm not like, you know, forcing him to work on there or anything, you know, but sometimes he'll respond better to different colors. And so if he's not responding to something I've put down, then we'll try a different color and he might really get into that, you know, and start.
I love that.
Yeah.
So can you tell me once again the website? It's what is the website? Is it, you said Big Cartel. Is that like a main website?
Yeah, I don't have the actual website right off the top of my head, but with Avery Art with Big Cartel.
Okay, you Google it, Avery Art with Big Cartel, and you can find that. And then on Instagram, you said it's Avery Art. Is it A-V-E-R-Y?
A-V-E-R-Y.
Art.
Yep.
Okay, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you can get a sense of that. But what you really want to do is go to the Jack. And I'm assuming that, Rochelle, there is an event on Friday for the opening at like 4:30-ish.
It's from 4 to 7 p.m.
Okay, 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday. It'll all be installed in the gallery at the Jack, the Juno Arts and Culture Center.
And Avery will be there.
Avery will be there. And ready to sell, right?
Yeah.
Get some red dots put on those paintings, right?
I do. He does. I'm sorry. It is AveryArt.BigCartel.com.
Okay, that's great.
There we go.
AveryArt.BigCartel.com. That's great to know. So the people who can't maybe make it on Friday, but the show will be up for the whole month, right, Rochelle?
That's right. Yeah, it'll be up for the month of September. And then, I mean, Avery is the last artist in our season 50 of gallery shows. And then we start our season 51 next month. And
in October. Okay.
Yeah. We were just talking earlier. We selected one of Avery's pieces as our season 50 artwork. And so it's been really lovely to have that on all of our brochures. And it's just been really great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, big break legs on the show on Friday. It's Avery Art, Avery Skaggs.
Yeah.
Right. Avery Skaggs is the artist. Nikki and Chelsea help Avery get the ideas onto canvas and make that happen. And Rochelle from the Jack is there to support and put it in the gallery, which is awesome. So thank you so much for coming in today, Gwyneth Cheesh. Don't forget about all of the other First Friday events. You can find everything at jahc.org. And of course, the Farmers Market and Food Festival this Saturday from 11 to 2. Is that what you said?
10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
10 to 2.
Yes.
Because I'm sure if there's anybody there with fresh food, it's going to go quick.
It'll go quick.
You got to get out of there. All right. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
you
coming
today.
Gwyneth Cheesh. And that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a preview of this Friday's AK Hip Hop Music Showcase, produced by Wordplay. Plus, Theater in the Rough is having a series of readings to help support the Flood Relief Fund. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of Juno Afternoon, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheesh, and have a lovely evening.